Hey, good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that Inspires Thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Programs at the Orthodox Union, and it is an honor to host this program. The OU created SPIRIT as an on-site program several years ago, and our programs took place in New York, New Jersey, and Florida. After a hiatus of a couple of years, we're happy to bring it back now as a virtual program. The OU recognizes that as the generation of baby boomers leave their professional responsibilities, they're looking for educational and intellectual stimulation. And the goal of the SPIRIT is to provide active retirees, not yet retirees, empty nesters, sandwich generations, seniors, and all sorts of baby boomers with the opportunity for spiritual and intellectual growth. As soon as the OU became aware of the issues of the 60 plus generation with COVID, we realized that SPIRIT would be the perfect way to engage our population. And we have been very, very happy with the results. Today, we are privileged to welcome Bonnie Giller to our SPIRIT program. Bonnie has been with SPIRIT before on site, and now we're happy to have her here in a virtual setting. Bonnie is a registered and certified dietitian nutritionist who has worked in medical nutrition therapy and counseling for over 30 years. Her full bio should have been emailed to you earlier today with worksheets that you'll be using for the program. If for some reason you registered late or you didn't get it, please feel free to email Papir A, that's our administrative person, our producer, and we thank her, Allison Papir. And her email is papira@ou.org, and she'll get it to you as soon as she can. Bonnie will be speaking on a very important topic for each one of us. I know it definitely speaks to me at this challenging time, and it's called Ending Emotional Eating, Your Three-Step Approach. I want to thank everyone so much for tuning in today. Enjoy the programming. And watch your emails for future programs. We have another program on Thursday, and I'll speak about it after we're all done. If you have any questions for Bonnie during the program, the chat is not available, so feel free to email me, steinigj@ou.org. That's steinigj@ou.org. Thank you so much, and Bonnie, thank you so much for presenting.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm going to just take a moment and share my screen because I do have a PowerPoint presentation for you today. So just give me a thumbs up if you see the screen right now. Awesome. Okay. So let's just make sure my clicker is working. We are. Okay. So I want to thank everybody for coming here today. The presentation is a very important topic, and I'm so happy that so many of you have shown up to really take part in what I have to share. Now, as Judy said, you should have received a worksheet. If you didn't, then please email the assistant and see if you can get that in front of you, because during the presentation today, I'm going to ask you some questions, some thoughtful questions, and it will be helpful if you can then share your answers, because we're not live and interacting right here today, just to put your answers on the worksheet. And it also, I always have found when presenting that it enhances the learning of the participants. So I hope that you find that helpful. I will also be very happy to share my email at the end of the presentation if anybody wants to reach out to me as well. So let's just go over what you will be learning today. So we are going to learn the real reason behind emotional eating, and it has nothing to do with food. What kind of an emotional eater you are, and the specific strategies that will work for you, and the three steps to break free from emotional eating during the pandemic now and beyond. One of the biggest challenges that I know emotional eaters are facing is how to cope with their emotions without turning to food. And I would say now more than ever during the pandemic, a lot of people are sharing with me, they're reaching out to me that they're struggling. So I just want you to know, like, if you're struggling with emotional eating, it's understandable. but you might find yourself saying time after time, whether it's now during the pandemic, or if you feel that even before this time, you have a history of emotional eating and it's sort of now become much more activated. You might have found yourself saying, I am not going to eat when I'm sad or frustrated. I know stress causes me to eat, but I'm committed to not eating again out of stress. I don't have to eat everything that's in front of me at the dinner table. I can pass by some food at the buffet table when I'm out at a function. This time I have strategies to handle the stress when I get home from work, so I don't find myself immediately going to the cabinet. This time it will work. But somehow you finish the plate at the party, you go up to the buffet line multiple times, you head straight to the kitchen to find something to eat when you get home from work. You wake up in the mornings and you say, this is going to be a quote unquote good day. And now you have the added layer of stress from the pandemic, which could include relationship stress, you're home with your spouse 24/7, emotional stress, you're worried about family and friends, and perhaps financial stress, your business is taking a hard hit, just to name a few. So I recently surveyed my online community and my client list, and I asked them, what is your biggest food and eating challenge that you are facing at this time during the pandemic? And 40% of the respondents said emotional eating, and 44% said comfort eating, which happens to be a form of emotional eating. And therefore, an astounding 84% said that emotional eating is their biggest challenge. And 100% of them said that they really want to learn how to stop. Now, there were some other challenges noted, included a lack of meal structure during this time and perhaps some late night snacking. And I will address some of those later on in the presentation. So if you're an emotional eater and you want to stop, please know that you're not alone. After working closely with chronic dieters and emotional eaters, it's become apparent to me that there is one big missing piece that is preventing you from stopping emotional eating to finally allow you to enjoy food again. And today I'm going to share what that missing piece is. And I am going to go a step further. I am going to share with you the exact 3 steps that you need to take to total food freedom, so you can put an end to emotional eating and enjoy a new relationship with food. Now, these are the same 3 steps that I take my private clients through on their journey towards ending emotional eating. So I'm going to give you some valuable tips, exercises, and case studies so you can see how to start taking action on these steps today, right after our presentation. And by the end of this talk today, you are going to see that it is possible to stop emotional eating when you have a solid plan, now during the pandemic and beyond. So let's just be clear who this training is for today. It's for you if you're a woman or a man who thinks about food all the time. What did I eat? When am I eating? What will I eat? You immediately turn to food when you're faced with a difficult situation or a feeling. You feel that food will answer all your problems, at least for a while. Maybe you feel guilty or embarrassed or ashamed or distraught after eating emotionally. You feel that food controls you, and you are specifically finding it hard to manage your feelings without food now while self-isolating. Let's just start then with an understanding of the emotional eating cycle. It looks like this. There are 4 points to this cycle. It starts with something that upsets you, which leads you to have an overwhelming urge to eat. So you eat more than you, quote unquote, think you should. You feel then guilty and powerless over food, which causes you to be upset and start the cycle all over again. So I'm wondering if that sounds familiar to you. You can kind of shake your head if it sounds familiar. I would just like you to take a moment to imagine what life would be like if you were not an emotional eater. What would that do for you? So write down some thoughts on your worksheet. The first question on the worksheet was about the 4 points of the emotional eating cycle. You want to note those because those are important. And then the second question is answering, if I wasn't an emotional eater, what would that do for you? You are a real person, you have real feelings, and you turn to food as your way to comfort yourself because right now, perhaps you don't have another way to deal with those emotions. And maybe you don't really know right now how to have food present in your life without it always being an issue. That's especially true if you've been a chronic dieter. And while initially you may feel comfort from eating, the guilt that follows is so strong that it wipes out any relief that you felt from eating. And now, with all the extra downtime we have and the limitation on, you know, where you can go and what you can do during the pandemic, you may find yourself seeking comfort in food more often. And there are so many emotions that may be coming up for you now: boredom, stress, sadness, frustration, loneliness, etc. So I just want you to know that I get it. Please know that if you are turning to food more often now, this is absolutely, quote unquote, normal, for lack of a better word. And I urge you to use self-compassion and kindness for yourself as you listen to my presentation and you make a plan to learn to cope with these emotions without food. Okay, so let's just dig in now and talk about the 3 steps to end emotional eating. Step number one. The first step is to identify your emotional eating type and triggers. So to simply say, I'm an emotional eater, but not dig deep enough to know what type of emotional eater you are and what triggers cause you to turn to food, is probably a big reason why you're still struggling with emotional eating. So let me just ask you a question. What makes you turn to food when you are not hungry? So go ahead and write your answers down on your worksheet. What makes you turn to food when you are not hungry? Do you ever put yourself in a position where you eat because others are eating, but you really aren't hungry? Is food the first thing that you think of when you had a rough day at work or perhaps a fight with your partner? Why do you eat? That's really the question. So go ahead, take a moment and fill in some of the questions to the answers on your worksheet. Through my 32 plus years of working with emotional eaters, I've identified 5 types of emotional eaters, and within each type, there are particular triggers. So for example, 1 type is the stress eater, who uses food to soothe negative emotions relating to stress, anxiety, frustration, and even overwhelm. Now, there are likely even certain foods that you find yourself choosing depending on the emotions, such as chocolate when feeling stressed, chips when anxious, maybe pretzels when you're angry or frustrated. And another type of emotional eater is the social eater, who often eats to feel connected to others, even if they're not hungry. Or maybe they don't want to feel left out of the group. Everybody's eating, so I'm going to eat too. Or perhaps they eat to add some fun and excitement to maybe a life that's sort of kind of just, it may be a little boring or just the usual. And for each kind of emotional eater, there are specific triggers that make them turn to food. So for instance, for the stress eater, some emotional eating triggers are feeling overwhelmed with your work, your volunteer or family responsibilities, feeling frustrated with a partner, feeling anxious about a blood test or lab result that you're waiting for, or feeling angry perhaps at a friend or someone who might have done something. So the question is, do you think that you are a stress eater? Write down if you think you are. If you resonate with being a stress eater, write that down. Now, there are 3 other emotional eating archetypes, and they are the escape eater, the comfort eater, and the happy eater. Again, I've given you a space, question number 7 on the worksheet, to indicate what all 5 emotional eating archetypes are. So go ahead and write those down. I go into these in a lot of detail when I work with my clients in the Total Food Freedom Emotional Eating Program, because it's so important to understand what type of emotional eater you are. You see, there are many reasons why you eat that have nothing to do with physical hunger. These are emotional eating triggers, and it's important for you to know what your personal triggers are and to truly understand what lies beneath, hidden beneath your eating, so you can figure out the best way to manage those triggers without food. So let me give you an example, because I said I would share some case studies for your learning purposes. So Rose was in therapy for many years before she came to see me to help her manage her diabetes. And she knew she needed to change her relationship with food in order to improve her health. But what she didn't realize was that she was using food to numb her feelings and pain from an emotionally abusive relationship. It wasn't until we dug deep enough into the reasons why she was eating that she realized that she was eating to sedate herself and to keep herself from experiencing her feelings and her emotions. And it was a way for her to zone out and detach herself from her life in order to get relief from what she said was misery that she was living. And once she realized this, it opened up the way to better manage her feelings without turning to food. And she started discovering even other underlying reasons that she eats. And just knowing these triggers was the first step in her healing. So just please take a moment and give thought to this. Are you trying to numb out from something that you might be going through? It's too painful to feel it. If you don't really know the underlying reasons you are eating aside from true hunger, how can you create strategies to cope with them without food and expect them to work? You can't. Now, I do want to just be clear about one thing. We are emotional human beings, and food has an emotional connection in our life. It's actually part of being human, and that's okay. This emotional connection starts as soon as we're born and placed on our mom's chest to bond. We're fed by our parents. We celebrate milestones with food, birthdays, anniversaries, promotions, and almost every culture, especially ours, has food as part of their symbolic customs. The problem arises when you use food to try to meet too many of your needs without having any other coping mechanisms. And what happens is those needs don't actually get met, and they create an even stronger drive to continue to eat. If food is the first and only thing that comes to your mind when you're sad, lonely, or upset, then emotional eating is a destructive coping mechanism. Food is often love, comfort, reward, a reliable friend. Sometimes food becomes your only friend in moments of pain and loneliness. And sometimes you're emotionally unaware. You have not yet identified your feelings and are not even aware that perhaps you're using food to cope. You haven't yet discovered this. Or you may be engaged in a very subtle form of emotional eating, such as boredom eating. While this doesn't seem to be emotionally charged, the results are the same as when you're using food to numb your feelings, and that result is overeating. And this overeating causes you to feel guilt and shame. And while you may initially find the comfort from eating, the guilt that follows is so strong that it wipes out any relief that you might have felt from eating. When using food to cope with feelings, you are not experiencing physical hunger. You are experiencing emotional hunger. Emotional hunger is triggered by feelings such as boredom, anger, loneliness, anxiety, but not by physical hunger. Feeding this emotional hunger is a coping mechanism which you have developed. And again, as I said, it's quite destructive. So you need to start by getting very clear on the type of emotional eater you are and what your particular triggers are. Now, sometimes it is hard to tell the difference between emotional and physical hunger. So let's just review the differences between the two. With emotional hunger, it develops suddenly, where physical hunger builds slowly and steadily. Emotional hunger is triggered by a feeling or an emotion, where physical hunger is triggered by a biological need. Emotional hunger stems from desperation to feel satisfied, where physical hunger stems from the natural need to eat and fuel your body. With emotional hunger, there's no stomach noise, but with physical hunger, we'll often hear some stomach rumbling and growling. Emotional hunger can only be satisfied by a specific food. With physical hunger, can generally be satisfied by any food. Emotional hunger prevents you from recognizing when you've had enough. With physical hunger, it allows you to have awareness and to recognize when you're full. And with emotional hunger, it is associated with emotion before, during, and after eating, where physical hunger is not driven by or associated by emotion. So now you have an idea of how to distinguish between an emotional hunger and a physical hunger, and you've learned the different types of emotional eaters. Okay, so identifying your emotional type and triggers is step number one to ending emotional eating. So what is step number two? The second step is to create customized strategies. Now, many experts are teaching you to find something else to do when you feel sad or lonely or frustrated or anxious. And maybe this works for you in the short term, but it hasn't in the long term. And that's because you need to connect the strategy to the emotion that you are feeling. It's true that having a strategy that distracts you in the moment can help with emotional eating. However, every situation or emotion that triggers a desire to eat will require a customized strategy to be successful. And if you don't have one, you will try strategy after strategy and likely end up eating anyway. You see, cookie cutter solutions, they don't work. You need to understand your triggers and then create customized solutions that work for you. Otherwise, the tips and the tools that you spend so much time on, you read about them, you try them, they just don't work. So think about that. Does that sound familiar to you? If you have a history of emotional eating, that likely would say, yeah, you'd probably be shaking your head yes. So think about that. How many of you have read or heard about a tip to help with your emotional eating and it didn't work? Or again, it worked in the short term, but not in the long term. I know I really can't see you. So if you're, you know, at home, just, you know, kind of raise your hand for yourself if it resonates with you. And chances are you ended up blaming yourself and feeling like that you failed, or you tried to overcome emotional eating and it didn't work for you. And maybe you therefore think nothing will ever work. So forget it. Well, neither is true. You can put an end to emotional eating when you create tailored solutions that work for you. So for example, if your trigger to eat comes from a place of fatigue and exhaustion, well, your strategy isn't going to go, well, let me go for a walk, or let me run on the treadmill for 30 minutes, right? It just wouldn't make sense. Let's just take my client Joanne, for example. So when I started working with Joanne, she quickly realized that her eating was based on situations, feelings, and habits. And most of these situations involved emotional eating. So she identified that she was eating when she was bored, or she was procrastinating about completing some task that was really an unpleasant task and she just didn't want to do it. And she found herself eating when she was stressed at work, and also by some relationship conflict that she was having. And she even realized, which was really surprising to her, that she ate when she was happy and wanting to celebrate with a loved one. And none of these situations or feelings were based on physical hunger. And it usually involved eating food that wasn't the healthiest choice for her. So this is what Joanne says. In my work with Bonnie, we explored all of these situations and developed strategies to cope with them without food. The biggest one for me was to pause and think about what I was really feeling and what I really needed. I can now recognize the boredom for what it is and find something to do that I enjoy. I know how to soothe myself when I'm stressed, and I have even been able to break the habit of eating while watching TV. And celebrating with family and friends has become more about the people and less about the food. So just imagine what would it be like for you to soothe yourself when you're stressed without turning to food, to enjoy card night with your friends, hangouts with your family without worrying about how much you'll eat, to watch TV without mindlessly working your way through a bag of chips. I want to reassure you that you can do it. To successfully overcome an urge to eat that doesn't come from true physical hunger, you need to have a strategy that's customized to respond to your specific emotional trigger. So another example, if your trigger comes from feeling lonely, especially now when self-isolating and you're not able to see your kids or your grandchildren, your friends, your strategy should have something to do with connecting to people or at least being around others if possible. So for example, you can call up a friend that you haven't talked to in a while and catch up. How are you doing? You can set up some Zoom get-togethers and, you know, with family, or to celebrate birthdays, you know, birthday parties, Zoom parties, or even organize a card game with your regular card group so you have some sort of social interaction. If that's not possible, even getting out of the house and sitting on your porch and waving hello to your neighbors. Or if you're feeling angry or you're feeling frustrated, your strategy should involve finding a release for these feelings. So physical activity like dancing or even punching a pillow is a good way to release these pent-up feelings. Or writing down your angry, frustrated feelings, your worries, and then ripping up the piece of paper into tiny shreds. That also could be very cathartic. You'll be amazed at how easily you will be able to overcome your feelings without food once you dig deep to understand your particular triggers and then customize the strategy for those triggers. Now, one powerful strategy that can really help you understand your emotional eating is journaling. Journaling is verbalizing your feelings by writing them down, and it's very beneficial for your emotional well-being and to discover things that might have been buried for years. It can help with your emotional eating in a few ways. Number one, it allows you to express and release your feelings. Writing down your strong emotions will help to release the intensity of those feelings because, yes, emotions can become very intense. When you try to avoid these strong emotions, such as sadness, anger, or hurt, and you try to push them away or push them down with food, they continue to come back and trigger emotional eating. By expressing your feelings in writing, not only do you become aware of what you're feeling, but you can then release those emotions by acknowledging that they are there. When your feelings are validated, they don't feel so intense and will ultimately be released. Number two, journaling helps you slow down and pause, not impulsively react. This pause makes all the difference between thought and impulsive eating and thought and reflection if maybe there's a better path to take in that moment. If you're an emotional eater, maybe you struggle with anxiety and constant worry. You may have bottled up emotions about past experiences that you haven't fully dealt with. Regardless of whether your triggers are past or future, the point is you aren't in the present. Journaling can be a way to take a pause in your day to be truly present in the moment. Or it can be used when you are about to turn to food, but instead, you insert that pause to consider some very important questions. What am I feeling right now? Am I feeling stressed, anxious, frustrated, lonely? Put a name to your feeling and write it down. By writing down these feelings, you are becoming more mindful and aware, which is the first step in managing the emotional eating. Okay, so number three, journaling helps you to recognize your patterns in emotional eating so you can break these emotional eating habits. So when you use journaling, you break the habit of turning to food automatically to deal with strong emotions and replace it with a healthier habit instead, asking yourself, okay, what do I need? I've identified my feelings. Now, what do I really need to feel better? The answer is usually not food. It may lie in connection, self-care, the need for support, to be nurtured. Journaling can help identify the real need. And number four, journaling helps improve your self-care. Self-care is giving yourself what it needs for you for your overall well-being, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional. By writing out your feelings, you're giving yourself some personal time to express those feelings. And by taking care of your emotions in this way, you're taking care of you, resulting in a greater sense of overall well-being. Now, my client June started journaling when we started working together. And here's what she says about how journaling has helped her. She says, I started journaling to my mom, who I lost at the age of 10. She missed every milestone in my life. As an adult, I started to realize how this played into a lot of the emotions that I have today and probably relates to my overeating. Bonnie suggested I started journaling. So I decided to write to my mom every night. And boy, it has been great. I've shed a lot of tears, but I love sharing things with her. This is helping me on my journey. So stick around to the end of today's presentation because I have a free gift for you that will help you either get started with journaling or perhaps enhance your journaling practice. Okay, so now it's time for the third step, but I'd like to recap what we've covered so far to make sure everybody's with me. So we've talked about the importance of discovering your emotional eating type and triggers to fully understand what lies beneath your overeating and turning to food when you're not physically hungry. And we talked about customizing the strategies to your particular emotional triggers to help you cope with your emotions without turning to food. All right, so you ready for the third step to end emotional eating for good? This is not only going to help you stop emotional eating and manage your cravings, but it will help you enjoy a new relationship with food. The third step is to use food as your ally. And I don't know, maybe some of you are thinking like, did she really just say that? Food is my enemy, you might be thinking. No, I did say that. Food is your ally. You see, for emotional eaters, food has the power over you. It controls you. But food actually can give you the power you need to end emotional eating. Let me explain because this is super important and I know it's going to change everything for you. When you give your body the right nutrition, you can better manage your emotions, moods, and cravings. Armed with the right information and know-how, food can become your secret weapon to overcome emotional eating. Now, emotional eating is, of course, deeply tied to emotional issues. We've been talking about that. But it is also exacerbated by not giving your body the nutrition it needs. When you see it like this, food doesn't have to be your enemy. It's your ally. Achieving nutritional balance by adding in key foods and nutrients you are currently missing from your meals will help you manage your mood, your emotions, and your cravings. Now, as you know, I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. I can really get into this stuff, but I also love making it really easy for you to understand. So there are three key ways that food can be your ally in regulating your mood and cravings. We're going to go through those three ways now. Key way number one is through brain chemicals. Your brain produces certain chemicals that can help you regulate your mood and decrease cravings. So for example, serotonin, known as the feel-good hormone, that's one of those brain chemicals I'm talking about. It makes you feel positive, happy, calm, and confident. Proper nutrition can stimulate the release of serotonin. Now, serotonin isn't found in foods, so it's not something that you can directly add to your daily food routine. But serotonin is synthesized by an amino acid called tryptophan, which is found in many foods such as eggs, cheese, and salmon. But here's the trick. You can't just eat a lot of foods with tryptophan and expect your serotonin levels to soar, because other amino acids compete with tryptophan to be absorbed by the brain. So tryptophan needs an extra boost to ensure that it will be absorbed. Tryptophan-containing foods need to be combined with a serving of healthy carbohydrates for the best absorption by the brain to make serotonin. So for example, when eating proteins such as eggs or cheese, be sure to combine that with whole grain bread, or pair a piece of grilled salmon rich in tryptophan with quinoa, a healthy carbohydrate. Okay, so we just discovered that you can increase your serotonin levels when you combine foods with tryptophan and carbs, such as salmon and quinoa. But it's also important to know that certain vitamins and minerals, such as vitamins B6, folate, and omega-3 fatty acids, help convert tryptophan to serotonin. So if you're a dieter, you likely restrict your food intake and eliminate major food groups and don't always get the needed nutrients. So even if you combine tryptophan foods with carbs, if you're deficient in vitamin B6, for example, you won't produce enough serotonin. This is why nutritional variety and balance is so important, not only to your health, but in managing your moods and overcoming your emotional eating tendencies. Now, I do go more into this about serotonin, what foods contain tryptophan, how to combine with carbs and other brain chemicals that are so key in this process when working with my clients in the emotional eating work, because this is extremely important. And again, chronic dieters will often restrict to the point of not getting in the needed nutrients for them, for their health. Key way number two. So the second way food is your ally in regulating your emotions is through blood sugar regulation. Low blood sugar increases hunger and cravings. Research shows that your blood sugar level plays a role in your hunger level and your food cravings. When your blood sugar is low, your body automatically craves foods that quickly increase your blood sugar. So what kinds of foods would those be? Generally, foods high in simple sugars. Foods such as bread, pasta, cereal, cookies, cake, you get the idea. In fact, there is a study that shows when blood sugar is normal, there's about a 15% chance you'll have a food craving. But when your blood sugar drops, the chance of a food craving increases to 65%. That's a big jump. So learning to keep your blood sugar within range can be a powerful tool to decrease the chance of a food craving creeping in. And by the way, this is not just somebody with diabetes or prediabetes, it's all of us. Blood sugar regulation is key to manage moods and cravings. So how do you do that? Well, one way is to eat meals that are nutritionally balanced. The problem, again, is that most dieters restrict their choice of foods, so they're missing out on key nutrients that are not only important for good health, but also stabilize blood sugar and stop the cravings. When your meals are not well balanced, this affects your blood sugar, which affects your energy levels, causing you to feel tired, cranky, and irritable. So do you see why what you eat can be your best tool to prevent cravings, keep you energized, happy, and best manage your emotions? Okay, the third way, we're up to the third way that food is your ally in managing your emotions, and that is through a variety of foods. So besides all of the biological and physiological factors that make you susceptible to food cravings, there is also an important psychological factor that may be increasing your food cravings, and that is a monotonous diet. As an emotional eater, someone who most likely is a yo-yo dieter, trying to find the answer to getting the body you always wanted, you probably have been on quite a few diets in your time. These diets, besides being quite restrictive, are often monotonous with minimal variety. And well, that has worked against you in your effort to overcome emotional eating big time. That's right. If you've been restricting what you eat in order to lose weight, there's only so long you can go without eating the foods you truly love. Eating food that you think you should eat and not what you truly get pleasure in eating causes you to have feelings of deprivation. And this leads to deprivation backlash. See, when you deprive yourself of something that you want, you actually increase your desire for that food until the deprivation becomes so powerful that you end up overeating and binge eating on that food, and that's called rebound eating. These psychological effects triggers cravings, obsessive thoughts, and compulsive behaviors relating to food and eating. So we need to get the dieting, the restriction, the guilt, the shame, and the judgment out of the way and learn how to eat the food you love and that will give you the energy and vitality to live the life that you truly desire. So take Tanya, for example. Tanya runs a large company. She manages many employees. She would sometimes avoid eating or maybe eat a very light breakfast before she went to work when she had a whole day of meetings. She anticipated the meetings would be very stressful, and she knew, well, she'd probably use food that was at the meeting in the conference room to handle a lot of the stress she was experiencing. And that's exactly what would happen, except that the stress and the emotional eating continued for days on end. So when I taught Tanya that she could use food in a proactive way to overcome emotional eating, she understood that when she is appropriately nourished, she can deal with stresses better and make food choices that are healthier and feel good in her body, mind, and soul. Not only did her health benefit, but those around her benefited as she was better able to communicate with her staff from a place of calm and not being harried. All right, let's just take a moment and recap the three steps. Step one, repetition is important for learning, so that's why I like my recaps. Step one, identify your emotional eating type and triggers so you know what lies underneath your overeating and turn into food when you're not physically hungry. Step two, create customized strategies so you know how to tailor your strategies to your particular emotional triggers to help you cope with those emotions without food. And step three, use food as your ally so you know how to give your body the right nutrition so you can better manage your emotions, your moods, and your cravings. And these steps are so powerful in helping you put an end to emotional eating so you truly can enjoy a new relationship with food. Now, in the beginning of my presentation, I had mentioned that I surveyed people to inquire about the biggest food challenge during the pandemic. And while the majority said emotional eating, there were some that said they were struggling with a lack of structured meals during this time. Well, now that you're home all the time, you may be waking up later or earlier, finding yourself skipping meals, or just have a decreased appetite. Now, more than ever, it's important to nourish your body and protect your immune system with nourishing foods. So I'm going to share with you three strategies for eating well during the pandemic and beyond. Strategy number one, plan ahead and shop wisely. So with social distancing as the new normal, we know it's best to stay at home and go outside as little as possible. So figure out in advance what meals you would like to cook for yourself, for your spouse, your family during the next week. Look up some interesting recipes online or flip through your favorite cookbooks like mine, which you see on the screen, Enjoying Food Peace, Recipes and Intuitive Eating Wisdom to Nourish Your Body and Mind. It's available on Amazon if anybody is interested, and it has over 150 recipes, as well as a chapter on intuitive eating. So if you're not familiar with what intuitive eating is and it's piquing your interest, you'll enjoy the chapter as well as some intuitive eating wisdom that's peppered through the book. So you look through your cookbooks, you come up with what recipes you want to make, and you create a shopping list of all the ingredients you need so you can get everything you need in one trip. As you know, a majority of the local stores are now doing online shopping with delivery or curbside pickup, so do take advantage of this. So planning ahead is key. I always say planning is smart living. Strategy number two, prep your meals in advance. So if you're working from home, it involves a lot of time and dedication, which makes cooking and eating balanced meals a challenge. Or if you're not working and maybe you're cooking for just one or two, and maybe you're not feeling so motivated to cook, try to choose one day of the week, such as Sunday, the day that you cook all your meals for the week, so you can ensure that you'll be nourishing your body consistently. You can even make homemade little TV dinners, such as you see on the screen, in these little section containers, and freeze them, so you have a full meal ready to go. Number three, create a flexible eating schedule. So being stuck at home all day may, you feel like I don't have structure, like every day is the same day. Every day is blending into the next. So maybe your eating has become haphazard. Your appetite is fluctuating. So I really encourage you to set up a flexible eating schedule. An eating schedule that is flexible, meaning that if you decide certain times that you want to eat, you have to allow that flexibility so you don't feel like, oh, I didn't eat, and you get the guilt and the shame, and I did it again. So there's an eating schedule you put together for yourself, but it is a little flexible. But that schedule will help to make sure your body is getting the nutrition it needs while you're honoring your inner hunger and satiety signals. And so to review these strategies, number one, plan ahead and shop wisely. Number two, practice meal prep. And number three, create a flexible eating schedule so you can eat consistently and intuitively. These suggestions will help you. But if you are still finding it challenging to stay consistent because of emotional eating, which is what we've been talking about, again, it's understandable. Let's just quickly go again over those three steps to end emotional eating. Step one, identify your emotional eating type and triggers. Step two, create your customized strategies. And step three, use food as your ally. As I said, these are very powerful steps to end emotional eating, and I've been helping my clients with this for years. Because remember, food is your ally. Food is your secret weapon to end emotional eating for good. Using strategies that are not tailored for you isn't going to get you the results you want. If you don't have a greater understanding on why you're eating and why you're eating when you're not physically hungry, and you're not tailoring your strategies to your specific mindset and your makeup, you don't use food as it's intended to, and you're going to continue on the emotional eating roller coaster. And I know I've shared a lot of examples and case studies during this presentation of how others have overcome emotional eating and have embraced food as their ally. I hope it encourages you that you can do the same. And here's just one more story. Nellie, she says, the idea of embracing food to help with my journey to end emotional eating was a life changer for me. Bonnie helped me understand the process. Help me understand how I can biochemically shift things using food, not just to feel better or escape, but using food to actually give me the energy and vitality and the things in life that I really want. And these are real people. I know it can work for you just like it's working for them. And so for a moment, I would like you to imagine how it would be if you can finally put an end to emotional eating and enjoy total food freedom, not just during the pandemic, but beyond, for the rest of your life. You can go out to dinner when we can go out to dinner again, right? You can go out to dinner and not have to obsess about what you're going to eat. You can sit down and watch TV and not automatically grab a snack to mindlessly munch on. You could recognize when you need some TLC, tender loving care, and not automatically turn to food. And you can learn how to unwind and relax after a long, hard day with a non-food treat and feel at ease, not feel bloated and cranky. You can know how to interrupt those negative emotions before impulsively reaching for food. And you can finally understand what unmet needs you have in your life that you have been filling with food, and instead fill it with what you really need: friendship, companionship, love, peace. How amazing would that be for you? So go ahead and write that down on your worksheet. What would it do for you in your life? I really hope this information today has been helpful. I really want to give back to the community, so I have a special invitation for you today. If you are really ready to uncover the real reasons why you eat when you're not hungry, then I invite you to an emotional eating breakthrough call for me. It's a complimentary call. And on the call, we will get clear on the challenges that you're facing, whether it's just now during the pandemic or in general. We'll clarify the 3 steps that you need to end emotional eating for good. And we will determine if working together to end emotional eating might be right for you. If you'd like to accept this free invitation, there's a link on the screen. You just go to dietfreeradiantme.com/talkwithbonnie. And what you do is you put your name and email in, and then you'll automatically get directed to my online calendar. You can go ahead and choose a time, and I will then send you some questions in advance, which will be really important for you to fill out and send back so we can really use our time efficiently. Now, in addition for joining me today, I have another free gift for you. We talked about journaling. So this is 20 days of emotional eating journaling prompts. And there's the download link on the screen, but that link is also located on the back of your worksheet at the bottom. Additional resources, if you're interested in learning about medical nutrition therapy for medical conditions such as diabetes, gastrointestinal conditions such as IBS or SIBO, or heart disease, you can just visit my website at brghealth.com. If you're interested in learning more about intuitive eating, if you've never heard about it before, or if you do, you have heard about it, you want to learn more, or about emotional eating, please visit my website at dietfreeradiantme.com. I've got videos, articles, lots of free resources there for you. And my email is bonnie@brghealth.com. If you have any questions that you have on today's presentation, I have no problem with you emailing me. I would be more than happy to respond. And again, your gifts for joining me here today to discuss this very important topic, your emotional eating breakthrough call, dietfreeradiantme.com/talkwithbonnie, and your emotional eating journaling prompts, dietfreeradiantme.com/20 days. I thank you so very much for being here, and please be well and stay safe.
Bonnie, thank you so much for that superb presentation. I know I learned a lot. I'm sure everybody else did as well. I want to encourage everybody to reconnect with Bonnie through her website. She's given us a ton of resources. If anybody in the, there were a few requests for the worksheets during the presentation. I hope everybody received them. If not, you certainly can reach out to us. We have been recording the session. So if you missed any of it, if you have friends that missed it, please reach out to us. We're happy to get it to you. We do ask, though, that you don't forward it to other people. We want to know everybody who's interested. We're happy to send all of our materials out, but we would like to see who is interested so that we can add them to our list. Again, thank you so much, Bonnie. I want to remind everybody that on this Thursday, April 30th, we continue with Spirit with Sarah Burson on thriving despite isolation. So that please join us at 11 o'clock. You will be getting a separate email for that. Remember that every Spirit program must have a separate registration. This is Zoom security and all that sort of thing. So we, you know, that's the way we do it. It takes a second, just register each one separately. And next week, we'll be getting back to Let's Get Moving exercises, which has been very popular. And you'll be seeing other things twice a week. If you have any other ideas for programs that you'd be interested in seeing, feel free to contact me. We are always looking for new thoughts, new presenters, so please let me know. I also want to thank, if you noticed on your emails, We have shuls, synagogues now that are partnering with us to promote this program. And we thank each one of them. And if any of you came through a synagogue email, please thank your shul for doing that. If your synagogue was not represented and you think that they should be, please get in touch with your rabbi or president and have them get in touch with us. We're happy to send it to them directly and to add them on our list and just to keep up the spirit. Anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Bonnie, again so much. We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Everybody, stay strong, stay healthy, and eat well.